One of the challenges of traveling is managing your money. If you're tired of getting crushed by bank fees and exchange rates, you need to check out Wise.com. I have been a customer for over 10 years. This is the easiest way to connect all of your finances internationally. It's been essential for me, first as a traveler, then later as a digital nomad and an expat living abroad, running a business from around the world. You get one account, which allows you to send, spend, and convert money internationally, all without hidden fees or exchange rate markups. You can join 16 million customers. Learn how the Wise account can work for you by downloading the app or visiting wise.com/travel. That's wise.com/travel. Thank you to Wise for supporting today's show. This episode of Zero to Travel is brought to you by the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder with 7 drive modes. The Pathfinder's available intelligent 4x4 is built for even the most epic journeys. Learn more at nissanusa.com.
You're listening to the Zero to Travel podcast, where we explore exciting travel-based work, lifestyle, and business opportunities, helping you to achieve your wildest travel dreams. And now your host, world wanderer and travel junkie, Jason Moore.
Hey there, it's Jason with ZeroToTravel.com. Welcome to the show, my friend. Thank you so much for hanging out, spending some time with me, letting me bring a little travel into your ears. Once again, this is the show to help you travel the world on your terms, to fill your life with as much travel as you desire, no matter what your situation or experience. This is a community-powered show, and getting a chance to hear from listeners, hear your story, and knowing that this show is making an impact in helping people travel, which I do firmly believe, as you might have guessed, that travel really does make the world a better place and gets people more connected. And I feel when people that want to travel get out there and explore, they come back better people and they do more good. And this is something I've been struggling with lately, because is that good outweighing the bad? And what I mean by the bad is the negative environmental impact of emissions. And I think back to all my years living the nomadic lifestyle and just being an active traveler, how much I'm responsible for makes me feel not so good from an environmental standpoint, but I know I'm not solely responsible for the pollution. That being said, we all need to be more aware of the impact we're having and take responsibility for that and understand with our choices, there are consequences to the environment. And what are we going to do about that? How can we change our actions? How can we change the way we think about travel and make a shift? So we as travelers can be conscious and do our part. That's what this show is all about with my special guest that you'll hear from in just a second. One of the most inspiring dudes I know. This guy's just an incredible guy, the way he lives his life and the things that he's doing as an activist. I've had him on the show twice before, third time's a charm. And on the back end of this, I am going to share some thoughts on how being a more conscious traveler can actually change the travel experience for the better, I believe, and give my biggest shout out ever. Stick around for that. I'll see you on the other side, my friend. If you've been following the news, you might have read about the last Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change report, and it was not good, to say the least. It warned that global emissions are far from slowing down, that the world has basically a little over 10 years to bring climate change under control and get their act together, and they don't. We're going to be facing a slew of environmental catastrophes and crises, too many to list here. And as travelers, we need to be the change we want to see in the world. We have to start doing our part. And I can think of no better guest to have on to help us out than my friend Rob Greenfield from robgreenfield.tv, who has done a lot of different projects. And you might have heard him on the show before. Maybe you already know about him. I'll let him get into that a little bit, but right now I want to welcome Rob back to the Zero to Travel podcast. Welcome back, Rob.
Thank you. Good to be back for the third time in 5 years.
Well, man, this is, we were just reminiscing before we started recording here, because you were episode 8 I'm so glad we got to meet way back then, and we talked about your bamboo bike ride across the states. And well, first of all, go to robgreenfield.tv and just dive into Rob's stuff if you haven't yet. Be sure to follow him on social media, because if you want to be inspired continually by somebody and really learn some things that are going to help you live in a better way and also more environmentally friendly way, Rob's the man. And I listed off from your bio page, Rob, just a few of the things you've been doing recently. You had the food waste fiasco. We talked about your cycling trip across the U.S. You did a show for the Discovery Channel called Free Ride, where you traveled without money through South America. We talked about your trip through Central America without money way back in one of the other episodes we did. You also donate 100% of your media income to grassroots nonprofit organizations, and you know, talk a lot on your blog about your financial net worth and how you like to live your life. So, man, I have no idea where to begin with you. Where I want to begin, I think, is the post you just put up recently about being a public servant. And I think that kind of encapsulates all the things you've been doing. Can you talk a little bit about this initiative and sort of your intention behind it?
I guess I would call it less of an initiative and more of just my life.
Okay.
Which my life is an initiative. So you're correct in saying that. You know, I look at the current political situation, which the current political situation is largely what drives the current environmental situation that you mentioned earlier with climate change, and money and politics are two of the greatest influencers of our lives, both globally and locally. And some ways we see it and some ways we don't. And so for me personally, I like to make sure that I'm working on the roots of the problems that exist in the world. And of course, that's, you know, easier said than done, because there are so many problems. But I like to really look at what's going on in the world and say, how can I be a part of the solution locally, but in a way that represents what could be done globally as well? And because money is, you know, the root of so many of our problems, I've taken a very deep look over the last 7 years at how money influences me and how money impacts me and the world. And so basically, I guess it was about 3 years ago, that's when I took the first vow to making very little money. Basically, my personal vow is to make what is considered the federal poverty threshold, which right now for an individual person is around $12,000. So that's my maximum yearly income. And by doing that, it's really hard to sway my opinion, sway my ethics and morals with money or material possessions. By vowing to keep my life simple and as minimally involved in money, as I, you know, hope to continue growing as a leader, the more pure that I will force myself to remain, because it's hard to remain pure in this world. And so I basically put limits on myself and make them public, so that I ensure that I remain pure in a world where it's challenging to do so.
So living without money, or like you said, at the federal poverty line, I mean, you had some thoughts around that, I know, in terms of being in a privileged situation where you can do that. And I was wondering if you could just give people a little more background on what you were thinking there. And then I want to talk about like the logistics behind living without money, actually.
Simple living is something that I can largely do because I am a privileged person and I do have my needs met, where I don't have to worry about, where my next meal is going to come from and how I'm going to pay the bills. And that's the reality of one of the greatest challenges of our time, is that it seems like a vast majority of people are not really able to look at the bigger pictures in life, you know, environmental issues, or being able to get out and see the world and gain perspective and more understanding of different cultures, because they're just trying to make the money to get to their next bills. Most people are, you know, month to month. Most people don't have more than 2 months saving. I definitely acknowledge that the fact that I am able to live simply, what some people would call this voluntary simplicity, is because I, you know, I do have that privilege. But also at the same time, because I created it, because I have over the last 7 years dwindled my life down to not having a car, not having any bills, no cell phone, no credit cards, all of those things, which have really allowed me to not be in debt and to be able to focus on what I want to in life, which for me is attempting to use my life to have a positive impact in the world. And the reason that simple living is so important is because our lives are so globalized and so industrialized, it's hard to know how our actions affect the world every time we spend a dollar. And so the less money that you spend and the less ways that you're involved in the monetary system, generally, the easier it is to understand your impacts and make sure that you have positive impacts rather than negative impacts. But if you have your money going into 200 different places, it's a full-time job to know where that money's actually going, who it's actually supporting, what its actual impact is. But if I'm keeping my money local and I'm spending very minimal, maybe it's only going to 20 or 30 places, that I have the time to understand the actual impacts of.
Right. I mean, you can talk about things as simple as going to buy a shirt or something. It's like, okay, well, where was this made? Was this in, how are the factory conditions? I mean, there's a whole list of things that you can go through, like you said, in every purchase.
And if you're buying 20 shirts a year, then you got to, it's time consuming to, you know, 20 different brands, 20 shirts a year and such. But like all my shirts come from one brand that I can trust, and it's simple.
The transformation you mentioned, you know, over the last 7 years, you have done all these different projects. We didn't even mention a few of them, like wearing all the trash on the outside of your body that an average American creates every day, which is 4.5 pounds. And you did that for a month. That was another thing. I mean, you got to see this stuff on Rob's site. You know, this has happened over time where you've done these projects and started somewhere. I'm just wondering, for you, did you have some kind of awakening, like within a moment, or was this like a slow burn for you in terms of the transformation to more simple living and to being more conscious in this way?
It was definitely, as you say, a slow burn. At the same time, a ignited quick slow burn, I guess you could say. It was no moment of enlightenment or overnight awakening, but once I started to really put the pieces of the puzzle together, then I started to move pretty quick. So 2011 is when I ultimately left Wisconsin. I was, I think, around 23, 24 years old. And that's when I left Wisconsin and definitely, you know, set off with my car and all my possessions in my trunk with the intentions of going and living somewhere else and you know, starting a new life, and didn't know where I was going. A couple of months later, I ended up in San Diego, and that's where I ended up living. And it was that year in 2011 that I just, what happened was mainly I started to watch a lot of documentaries and read a lot of books and just started to realize, you know, so many problems in the world. But the real thing was I realized I was a part of all those problems. The food I was eating, the car I was driving, the gas that I was putting into the car, even the water that I was drinking in San Diego was coming from 300 miles across the desert where the Colorado River was now run dry because we sucked all the water out of it. The trash that I was creating, you know, the cheap crap I was buying. And just through these books and documentaries and looking at things online, that's when I just started to realize, okay, my life is not what I thought it was. Companies have really sold me on these ideas. They're not true. I've been lied to. And, you know, I really wanted to change my life. Another thing that I want to say, though, is San Diego did play a role, because being in a place like San Diego, which is, it's not ultra, you know, liberal. It's actually a somewhat conservative town, so it's not like San Francisco. But the thing about it is that people kind of just let you be yourself there. You, compared to Wisconsin, where, for example, if you wanted to be a vegetarian or a vegan in Wisconsin, you risk every single meal someone saying, "Where's the beef?"
It's a big risk.
Out in San Diego, you could be who you wanted, and people really just didn't give you beef for that. They just kind of let you be yourself. And so that was the environment that really helped, made it easier. It could be done in Wisconsin, no question about that, but made it easier for me to, you know, get out of the social stigmas because they weren't pressing me every day, and just really bloom into myself, which who myself wanted to be was someone who lived in a way that didn't destroy the very earth that I loved.
Well, this is interesting. This is tying big time into one of the main topics I want to cover, which is sustainable travel. And I came across this article on the Washington Post recently. It was called "For the Love of Earth, Stop Traveling." It was written by a Pulitzer Prize winner. And he was talking about essentially the emissions that are created from airplane travel and how that's a big component of the problems that we're having and that people should stop traveling. Now, I had a bit of an existential crisis with this because, you know, I've always tried to be a conscious traveler and, you know, bring a water bottle and not use plastic and things like that. But you can always do more, right? Everybody that's listening to this, the goal of this show and this episode in particular is just to help you become a better traveler in this way and to do more. Like I said, we want to be the change. You know, I started struggling with this question, Rob, of like, okay, is the goodness that comes out of travel outweighing the environmental concerns? You know what I mean? Like what you said about San Diego playing a role. So you might have been living somewhere where they were pumping water in from 300 miles away. And because you were living there, maybe you had a certain impact on the environment that you wouldn't have living elsewhere. But because you were there, you also, like you said, kind of grew into this person that you are today and started discovering these things. And now you've made this huge positive impact on the world. And I know through all of your travels, the experiences you've had have shaped you as well. So how do you reconcile this? Like, help me out here, man.
Okay. So, you know, that's a typical media story. And the thing that's typical about it is that it takes a very direct black and white stance. Travel causes environmental harm, so do not travel. That's one of the main problems with our current society, is that we look at everything as black and white issues. But of course, when you take a greater perspective on our existence, you know that nothing is black and white and everything is gray. Because just to pull that apart for a second, you know, flying is bad, so you shouldn't travel. Well, ever heard of a bicycle? Hiking, so just to name some things that you can do. You can sail around the entire world. You can hike some of the great trails like the Pacific Crest Trail or the Appalachian Trail. You can bike across your country. You can bike across your state, across your country. You can, you know, go Forrest Gump and run across the country. You can hitchhike on vehicles that are already going in that direction. Trains, you know, you can travel all across Europe by train. You can hitch a ride on a boat across the Atlantic, something that I have not done yet, but would like to if you're going from North America to Europe or Europe to North America. So you can take a boat and then take the train everywhere there. So it is a whole different ballgame, but it is possible to travel the world and not fly at all.
We'll get back to the interview in just a moment. This episode of Zero to Travel is presented by the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. From muddy jungle paths and snowy trails to rolling sand dunes, the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder has the capability to take you to some of the most epic destinations on Earth. We're excited to partner with Nissan because our listeners know we love to celebrate the joy of exploring the world and finding the best off the beaten path destinations to visit. And there's no better vehicle for that than the 2024 Nissan Pathfinder. With 7 drive modes, the Pathfinder's available intelligent 4x4 is built for even the most epic journeys, and it even has the best towing capacity in its class, up to 6,000 pounds, so you can bring the fun with you. But Nissan also knows that it's not just about where you go. In a Pathfinder, the real fun comes from getting there, and that's something we love celebrating here on the Zero to Travel podcast. We believe that life is about finding that joy within the journey itself, and that's why we're thrilled to partner with Nissan to celebrate adventurers everywhere. So thanks again to Nissan for sponsoring this episode of Zero to Travel and for the reminder to chase bigger, better, more exciting adventures and enjoy the ride along the way. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. If you love coffee like me, let me tell you how you can get an incredible cup of coffee, whether you're at home or on the road. You can use what I use, which is the AeroPress. Have you seen this? This is a device that uses a patented 3-in-1 brew technology. It combines the flavor benefits of espresso, pour over, and French press into one compact, portable device built for travel or home. The AeroPress has over 55,000 five-star reviews in 60 countries, plus it's the best-reviewed coffee press on the planet. That tells you something, and it makes an incredible gift. Under $50. Get one for yourself or somebody you care about. Pick yours up at aeropress.com/zero to travel. That's Aeropress, AEROPRESS.com/zero to travel. Use the promo code zero to travel, all one word, to save 20% off your order. That's 20% off. Thank you to Aeropress for the delicious coffee and for supporting today's show. Now, back to the show. It still hit me as somebody who's living in Norway who wants to get back to see my family. I'm still going to have to get on planes, right? So the kind of solution that I thought about, or the things that I was thinking about, were the things that you mentioned, and also more of the slow travel philosophy where you're spending more time in a place. But I want to get some tips from you on the main things that are involved with travel when it comes to the transportation, the food, and the water, because you have all the experience of doing it, not only without money, but in a very sustainable way. I know you do things to the extreme, but I'm sure you have a bunch of tips for the average traveler.
I do want to go back a little bit to what you just said, and I guess a little bit more about, you know, is it possible to travel sustainably? You know, and a little bit more about flying. So there's the flying, there's the getting there, but then there's the everything that you do once you're there. And so the reality is that traveling, let's leave aside the how you get there, but then once you're in an area, the traveling doesn't have to be any less sustainable than living at home, and can often be far more sustainable. So to give one example, something that a lot of people do is WOOFing, Worldwide Opportunities on Organic Farms. And that's where you stay on organic farms and you learn how to grow food. And basically, it's a work exchange. So you work typically 5 hours a day for 5 days, so 25 hours a week. And that includes your lodging and your food. And so when you're woofing, you're typically living a very simple, environmentally friendly life. And what you've often done is you've left behind your apartment where you're, you know, going out to restaurants and driving your car and, you know, living a more consumeristic way, and you're learning to live simply. So there are ways to travel where actually you are living a far more environmentally friendly life. You know, and the other thing is, it's about what you do when you get there. So you can be going to the amusement parks and, you know, the Mall of America and, you know, going out on expensive yachts that are burning gas. So you can go and have these lavish travels that do cause far more destruction than you probably would at home. But then there's all sorts of other things. You could be visiting eco-villages. You can be going to local small B&Bs. Or the other thing is, you know, I try never to stay in hotels. I stay with friends wherever I am, because then I can cook in their kitchen. We eat meals together. It's no less environmentally friendly to stay in someone else's apartment or house than if I was at my own apartment or house. So traveling by nature, flying aside, the what you do when you get there doesn't have to be any less, you know, sustainable, and can be far more. Because the other thing is, a lot of times with traveling, you learn how to live simply. Everything you have is in your backpack. So you start to realize, okay, maybe I don't need an entire closet full of clothes, because actually I've been in this backpack for a month and I've had all the clothes that I need, and I'm happy, and I'm actually happier. So, you know, that's the big point, is that once you get to somewhere, you don't have to be living any less of a sustainable life whatsoever.
I love that. Yeah, I mean, that's along the same lines with travel being expensive as another myth, you know, where oftentimes I found myself spending less money when I was traveling than when I was living a traditional life. And by the way, we've gotten to have Sue Coppert, the founder of Wolf, on the podcast before. I can link that up in the show notes.
I do want to stress that the most destructive thing that any of us do in any given day is flying. One of the main reasons people eat a plant-based diet is because of the carbon footprint. And I did some rough numbers, and I don't remember exactly what it was. I think it was one flight to Europe and back was the carbon equivalent of like 1,200 hamburgers or something like that. So no doubt, like in no way would I lessen the environmental impact of flying, because it is just one flight a year basically makes it impossible to say that any of us live sustainably. So that is the tricky thing. And that's the tricky thing for me as well, because I believe that I can have a positive impact through some flying, like coming over to Europe and doing a speaking tour. I was invited to China last week. Round trip flight and lodging covered. It would have cost me no money, and I would have gotten to speak at this great conference, and I would have got to go to China. I've never been to China before. But I had to say no. I could not fly to China for just one talk. Now, the way that I look at flying personally is, will this flight be worth it in creating the world that I want to live in, a more sustainable and more just world? The answer was no for that flight to China, unless I decided that I was going to spend 2 months in China speaking, maybe doing reporting on environmental issues that would come back home, and so on. So for example, both of my, my last TEDx talk that I did in Europe, in Paris, I wasn't going to fly over there just for a TEDx talk. I wouldn't have been able to rationalize that. But instead, I did a whole speaking tour, and I spent, I don't remember how long, 7 weeks over there, and I did like 35 talks or so. And in that way, the flight I deemed to be really worth it, because the impact that I could have in that way was worth it. So, you know, I would definitely say flying for a weekend is something that I can't do that anymore and rationalize it. And even you're in a pickle with the flying to Norway to see family. Cause that's, if we're talking about the environment, it's just not even really possible to rationalize.
Right. Is that tough for you? Like in that China example, when you have maybe an emotional thing behind it where you're thinking, oh, it would be great to go to China. I've never been to China. I want to experience that. I mean, you know, we can talk ourselves into anything, right? It's totally subjective. So you could say, well, I'm only giving this one talk, but I can learn more about climate change there and bring that back and write about it and maybe get more attention through my book. You know, you could kind of create an argument to go, probably. Like, how do you, as a conscious traveler, how do you pull yourself out enough? How do you take the emotion out of it?
Well, and that's the difficult part about being a human, is that we can rationalize anything in our brain and make it seem fine. So what it really comes down to for me, I've mentioned nothing is black and white, everything is a gray area. So it's always remembering that and just always trying to be honest with myself and with others. So I personally, one of my greatest goals in life is to not be delusional, which is very hard, because pretty much the whole human race is delusional because of the way that we've designed society. We have outsourced everything so that we don't actually understand our existence, thus making it very hard not to be delusional. So one of my main, goals in life is to not be delusional. So when I look at a situation like that, I don't rationalize incorrectly, because that is defeating one of the main goals of my life, which is to not be delusional. You know, when we're talking about the big picture of the state of the world, numbers are important. But it can't come down to just numbers. You know, it can't come down to just government and corporations. It really has to come down to common sense, rational thinking, critical thinking and problem solving. And, ultimately just telling ourselves the truth, being honest with ourselves and being honest with others. And so that's like a big part of life, is just trying to live in a way where you're in alignment with your beliefs. And so for some people, that might mean giving up traveling. Some people, I know people who have done that, like Mark Boyle, the moneyless man over in Ireland. He won't get on a plane ever again. And that's, he's an example. And he doesn't even use electronics anymore. So he wouldn't even do this podcast with you, even though he'd be great. But for other people, they can figure out a way to travel where they're actually having an extremely positive impact on the world. Maybe it's public speaking, or maybe it's undercover journalism of some sort. Maybe it is by producing documentaries on environmental issues that are really important. So, you know, for people that really want to get down into the nitty gritty of it and travel for a deep purpose, there is a way to do it in our time, and have a worthwhile impact. The other option is you just travel and you don't care that you're having an impact, a negative impact. And that's, you can do that too, but just be honest about it. You know, that's one of the other big things is just be truthful. If you know that you're destroying the world, just say, I'm destroying the world.
How do you stay positive when you hear something like this recent climate change report?
Well, to be honest, the recent climate change report didn't give me many feelings at all because it was nothing new in reality to me. I mean, humans have been saying for quite a long time that we have this many years, and if we don't turn it around, then there's no going back. And I think we've already basically hit that. I've already come to the belief that humans aren't going to turn things around. Now, that's not saying that I don't think we can. I think we could. If the human race decided to turn things around and come together, it's possible. We totally could do it. Now, but do I think we will? I don't, and I haven't thought for quite a while. Money and influence and greed and people not doing things for the right reason but for power. And also there's just the logistics. Pulling this or turning this around, 7 billion people, 200 nations, what we call nations, of course, those are just, lines that we've created and such. To pull that all together would just be the most insanely incredible, amazing thing. And again, I think it's possible, but to pull it actually off, I don't think we will. Now, the thing is, a lot of people would say, okay, then what's the point? You think that we're not going to pull it together. So what's the point? Why don't I just travel everywhere I want and pollute all I want and just live this,
decadent
extravagant
life? Right?
Yeah, why not? If we're all going down the tube anyway. And the reason why is because I believe that life matters now and in the future. I believe that life matters. Okay, let's say hypothetically 300 years from now, the human race goes extinct and we're all gone. But the life that exists now still matters. And the life that exists between now and then still matters. Their feelings, whether they're happy or sad, whether they, living in suffering or living an enjoyable life, whether people's basic needs are met, all of these things do matter now. And so I don't think that I'm going to change the whole world, but I do think that I can increase the quality of life of people and animals around me and set an example that will help others to do that as well. That's really the way that I look at it. So I can't clean up the entire ocean of plastic, and I don't think that humans ever will, but maybe there's a lake or a river and I can make sure that that's clean, come together with my community to make that a beautiful place for us to enjoy and for the other species that live there to enjoy. I can't solve world hunger, but I can make sure that my neighbors have healthy, clean food. And that's the way that I look at it, and that is a life worth living, a dignified life worth living that benefits the people around me, no matter of the future outcome.
It's interesting with the money question too, because oftentimes it will take large amounts of money to solve certain problems. So you look at somebody like, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett, and they're giving all their money into this organization to try to solve malaria. So you have that one side of, well, maybe you could say, more money and I can make more impact in that way. And then you have another side where you can be like, well, if I'm not spending money, then I'm also making an impact too. And you're donating all the money. I'm sure you get a lot of opportunities that come across your plate. Do you ever struggle with that?
Yeah. And I want to say, I think that billionaires can be impactful, or people living with voluntary simplicity. So there's many different ways of going about affecting positive change. And I think a lot of billionaires could have extremely massive you know, positive impacts in the world, and some have. So for me, I've chosen the path of trying to live in a way that is as deeply aligned with my morals and beliefs as possible. And I don't remember who said it, but I heard a saying, there is no victimless millionaire, or there is no victimless billionaire. Because the reality is that in this world today, to become that, there's victims typically, whether it's humans
or
others.
Especially that amount of money. Yeah.
Yeah. To get that amount of money. Yeah. It's one thing that, you know, if you're making $30,000, $40,000 a year to support your family or whatever. But if you become a billionaire, it typically means that there's been victims. And usually, you know, in our globalized world, that would mean destroying natural environments, which could mean destroying the homes of other humans, their well-being, whether it's their water or their food source, their forests, or the other species that used to live there. And usually to be a billionaire, it means that a lot of destruction has happened. So for me, I've just decided I'm not causing destruction to do good. And that's why, you know, ultimately I dissolved my business. Maybe that was since last time we talked. It was about 3 years ago. And, you know, in the past it was like, you know, I was putting at least 10% of total revenue, at least, into environmental work. But I thought about it, and I was like, well, but that's 90% not. And, you know, the business I was doing, you know, for the most part was not, it was I was trying to do environmentally friendly marketing. But ultimately what I found was that most of it wasn't that environmentally friendly, and that I would be better off spending my time not monetizing my time and trying to make money to do good, but instead basing my life around doing good, which so much good can be done without money. You know, they say vote with your dollar, and that's one way to do it, but not spending is also voting with your dollar, and existing is also voting with your dollar in a comparison manner. And, you know, the reality is that they say money makes the world go around, but that's not true. The world will keep going around without the existence of money. It went around for billions of years without the existence of money. And human beings have the ability to affect change via their actions, via the way they treat people every single day. And that makes the world go around more than money.
What is your day-to-day now? Like, what have you been up to the last weeks, let's say?
Well, I just finished building this tiny house out of
congrats.
90. Yeah, it's nice. I'm sitting in it right now. It's built out of about 99% repurposed materials, which was really my goal, was to try to build a house out of, you know, almost nothing new, and also really inexpensive. The total cost is around $1,500, and I wanted to show an example for people, like, you know, maybe people who want to travel the world and don't want to be spending all their money on rent and bills. This tiny house is a perfect scenario for that, because by living here, I do a work exchange with the people whose land this is. So I don't have rent, and I don't have any bills, because I live, you know, really simply. And that, for me, when I first started traveling the world, this was my way of being able to travel, was by decreasing the number of ways that I had to spend money, the more money I had to be able to go out and see the world, which you mentioned it earlier. I mean, seeing the world is definitely a big part of shaping who I am and shaping so many people, because when you see that there's hundreds of other cultures out there and hundreds of other ways of doing things, what you realize is the Western way, whether it's the American way or the Western European way of doing things, isn't the normal way. It's just what we're surrounded by. And once you realize that, oh, this is all a delusion, what we call normal is just the way we do things, and in no way is it normal. And in reality, if you live in a Western society, it's not normal. We are the extreme ones. The United States has 5% of the world's population and uses 25% of the world's resources. That, by definition, is extreme. The Americans are the extremists, you could say, in the way that we carry out our lives. And so once you get out of your country and you experience this, you just wake up. And that's one of the most important things, is that mind shift. More important than, you know, almost any action is shifting your entire way of thinking. And traveling is, you know, such an important role in doing that. And you mentioned, like, you know, well, what is the benefit of traveling? Can you offset it? And that's that area that's totally gray. You know, it's not black and white. Is that flight over to, you know, immerse in other cultures going to be worth it? It very well could be.
The example I always use is like Adam Braun, who founded Pen Swizzle Promise. I've had him on the podcast. You know, if he never went on that backpacking trip, he never would have been exposed to the things he saw in different countries and started this program where they now build schools for children in developing countries and things like that, where you can't always predict. Like you said, you can go and you know, okay, well, I'm going to line up all these speaking gigs, but sometimes just travel for travel's sake or oftentimes can lead to those big changes. And I think back in my own life and understanding, like you said, that resonated with me when you start traveling and you don't have a lot of stuff with you and you're just like, wait a minute, you come back and you get to your storage unit or wherever, and you're like, it's like looking at somebody else's stuff. You're like, what is all this? Why do I don't need any of this, you know? And because of those experiences, like I've gone on to live a much more simple life for many years. But I couldn't have predicted that in the beginning until I had the experience. It's tricky, but the big thing to come out of this is, like you said, just a hyper awareness around the flights that you're taking. That's the biggest impact. So just being more aware and then combining that with, I guess, maybe more purposeful travel, or what can you do actively on your travels to make a difference?
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, being really aware of the flights, and then, you know, if this is something that you care about and this conversation is resonating with you, then basing your travel around being really well thought out being in a way that is having a positive impact and shaping you into being the change maker or the, you know, conscious person that you want to be.
We'll get back to the interview in just a moment. Here's a quick powerful exercise. If you think about one or two of your big goals, and then you fast forward a few months from now, what can you do right now to give yourself the best chance of succeeding? If one of those goals for you is learning a new language, or even just a little bit of a language to enhance your next trip, you should absolutely get Babbel. They have quick 10-minute lessons handcrafted by over 200 language experts. You can actually start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. It's designed by real people for real conversations, exactly what you want as a traveler. I just downloaded it and went into the Norwegian course area thinking, oh, I've got this. Immediately made a bunch of grammar mistakes that they corrected, and I was like, oh, I've been doing this wrong. So I'm already leveling up and learning. And you can get Babbel now. Here's a special limited time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/zerototravel. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/zerototravel, spelled babbel.com/zerototravel. Rules and restrictions may apply. Thank you to Babbel for supporting today's show. Hey, Jason here. Did you know we have a free weekly newsletter over at zerototravel.com/newsletter? I put my heart and soul into this newsletter and love keeping in touch with listeners off the podcast. That's where you can find out about all of the latest and greatest events, trips we're planning, and of course, you're going to get money-saving travel tips, destination advice, all kinds of stuff to provide value and help you add more travel into your life. So why not sign up? Again, totally free, no cost at all. zerototravel.com/newsletter. Excited to welcome you into that community. Thanks for listening. Now, back to the show. Seeing how you live this day to day, you know, whether you're traveling and you're on a bamboo bike and creating very minimal waste, or, you know, building a tiny house out of recycled materials, or the things that you do, is it hard to continue the simple living every day? Is it a struggle? Or is it like, what are the rewards for you personally at this type of lifestyle that you live?
Well, yeah, I mean, one of the main rewards of living simply is it allows me to do what I want. And that's what I want to do, is I want to do what I want while I'm alive, not work some job droning away that I don't really like. I don't want to be living what somebody else wants to me to be living. I really just want to live a life that I feel really good about, where, you know, when I die, I can say that was a life well lived, and not say, okay, well, I have to work for the next 20 years so that when I die, I can ultimately say that was a life well lived, because I could die tomorrow. So living in the present. And so that's really what, you know, a big part of this for me, what's worked with simple living, is it has afforded me the ability to really live the life that I want, which is, you know, traveling is a big part of that. Seeing seeing places, immersing in other cultures, learning from different people's ways of doing things, immersing in the natural world of different, you know, different biomes. So that's, you know, that's a big part of it. And again, you can do this by living a monetized way of life where you focus on earning a lot of money so that you can take the time to do that. But instead, like, I try to make my whole life the being present, you know, immersing in different things. Because, you know, one thing that is important to talk about when it comes to travel is that there's so much going on right in your own area that you don't have to fly for. You know, if you're in Chicago, or if you're in any of these big cities, New York City, Chicago, Los Angeles, there are different cultures existing in community that you can go and learn from. I mean, for me, like living in San Diego, I took African dance classes and that was amazing. I mean, I felt a little bit like I was in Africa sometimes when I was taking classes like that. Or going to the Ethiopian neighborhood and eating at the Ethiopian restaurants, like getting to meet people from Ethiopia is mind opening. And just like, you know, for me, or being in Minneapolis, where there's a lot of Ethiopians and Somalians, and, you know, playing soccer in the park with them, that was, you know, it sticks out to me how kind they were. Like, it was part of their culture where they were just kind and open. Like, they just came over. I was kind of playing soccer by myself, and they just came over and started playing with my soccer ball without even really asking. And what that was is that was the community mindset where we share. And it was so much a part of their way of life that it wasn't even like asking. It was just now all of a sudden we're playing together. And that all was without leaving the United States. So that's another thing, is that in your own backyard, there are ways to shift your perspective and to wake up by immersing in different cultures.
You mentioned how dramatically different the U.S. is in terms of consumption, and especially related to how you live. Do you feel at home in the U.S., or does it feel, do you feel like a stranger in a strange land in some way, or how does that feel for you?
The United States is definitely my country, actually. I feel so at home when I get back. Every time I leave, and I'm always ready to get back to the United States, and I'm always excited. And I feel at home here, even though, you know, I go against the grain of American society. The thing is, this is where I feel purposeful, because the United States is the one causing the most destruction to the world. And, you know, my purpose in life is really trying to change that the little bit that I can.
You're in the right place.
I'm in the right place. You know, most of the roots of the world's problems, I believe, come from the tentacles of American life and American consumerism. So this is the place for me to be. And the reality is that the problems that exist in the world actually do give me a great purpose. Now, I would gladly see that purpose fizzle away for a world that's actually sustainable and just, but in the current world that we live in, that does indeed give me great purpose.
Why did you pick Florida? Because you're living in Florida right now, right? Did you choose Florida for a specific reason, or...
Well, so some of that is a matter of just, you know, living the life I want, which is I want to live somewhere warm. So before Florida, I lived in Southern California for 5 years, and I really don't want to live in a place with winters. So that, you know, Florida is a good place for that. So that was, you know, one of the main reasons. But I also, at this point in my life, do want to live in a place where I feel like I can really affect positive change, where I'm actually needed. So, like, for example, San Francisco, there's a lot of change makers there. There's a lot of progress already. I'm less needed there. Florida, on the other hand, is a place where I can have a very positive impact. And Orlando is a place that is on a sort of a transitional state where in a decade's time, this could end up being one of the more sustainable cities in the country, because there are a lot of people working to change things. It's a young city that is still moldable, And it's like kind of somewhere in that middle ground of it, you know, it can go either way. So I feel like I can be impactful here as well. So that's, you know, a couple of the reasons.
What kind of advice do you give to somebody that's sort of, you know, wants to travel and wants to do it in a more purposeful way, but isn't quite sure what their cause is, or just, it can be a tough thing that a lot of people can put a lot of pressure on themselves, you know?
Yeah, that's a very good question. I have to say that I have always felt pretty purposeful in what I was doing. Now, in the past, that was partying and chasing women and attempting to be a millionaire, but I felt very purposeful in that. And I didn't change because I wasn't happy. I actually enjoyed that. I changed because I felt like it was, you know, the right thing to do and that I could live an even better life. But I wasn't really running from unhappiness or anything like that. You know, I tend to give better advice on things that I really have experienced firsthand. And I don't recall ever feeling that, like, what should I do? I don't feel a purpose, you know, a passion. But one thing that I can say is I would say don't try to force a purpose or a passion. And instead, just ask, what do you love doing? Do you love working with children? Do you love hiking? Do you love spending time outside? Do you love organizing people? And so what I would say is, you know, what is it that is there something that drives you, whether that's like a bigger something that you recognize as a bigger thing? Like, you know, maybe you recognize a bigger thing as like running for office. But don't think about the bigger thing and just think about what drives you in life. And what do you feel excited about? You know, when do you feel your best? And try to like look at it from that perspective and then ask, okay, now is there a way that I tie that into having a, you know, a positive impact and making the change that I want to? So for me, I was always an adventurer. I always loved extreme adventures. And so when I first got started, it was more focused on the adventure aspect and the selfishness of, you know, loving adventures. I was, you know, I was like very inspired by Bear Grylls back in the day, as an example, survivalist, you know, adventure type stuff. And so I started out kind of that way because basically I've always been an entertainer. Like that's the reality. I was the class clown in high school. So you could say that that was my passion, entertaining, you know, getting people's attention has always been a thing that I've enjoyed doing. I've always enjoyed, you know, getting people's attention. That's a reality of my personality. And so it came down to, okay, I like to, you know, get people's attention and get them thinking about things. I like to go on adventures. So, you know, I'm an entertainer, I'm an adventurer. And then ultimately, you know, I was at the same time wanting to live more sustainably and inspire more people to live more sustainably. And I kind of combined all three into environmental adventures that were attention grabbing. A lot of them were kind of stunt-like or are stunt-like. And so I don't get burned out generally because I'm doing what I want to be doing. And I am meeting my personal desires as a human being. But then the thing that happened is that over time, that's when I've been able to morph it more into the altruistic way of doing things, more into the mission-driven aspect, because I've just continued to do this. But it didn't start out as – it started out more about me and then shifted away from that as I, you know, as I found my purpose and my passion more deeply. And I also do want to say, like I mentioned the word altruism, but I definitely want to say I'm not real altruistic because altruism is doing something for others that benefits you in no way. But the thing I found is that by helping others, I help myself because the more I give to others, the happier that I am. And the more that I, you know, build a life around giving to others, the more people want to support me. And so the more that I do this, the more that I gain. You know, I'm more purposeful, more passionate, more healthy, more happy. You know, people like me. All of these things come from living this lifestyle. And so you know, you don't have to be altruistic, because, you know, doing good is one of the greatest goods you can do to yourself.
Yeah, I mean, that's important too. You should be having a good time with your own life, right? Like,
yeah, I want to have a good life. There's no question about that. So how can you have a good life and make a good life around you too?
Who are some of your heroes?
You know, Jack Johnson, the musician, he's always been a hero of mine. I, you know, originally liked him for his music, but, you know, he's one of the most, you know, environmentally focused musicians out there when it comes to using his money to affect positive change. And then also his humbleness, you know, he was called like the world's most humble rock star, I think, by Rolling Stone or something like that. And he is like, I've never met him, but I have multiple friends who have spent time with him, and he's just like any other person. Yet he's one of the, you know, he's just, you know, super famous. And I really admire people who can remain humble in times where you could be totally egotistical and unhumble. So he's one person. You know, I'm deeply inspired by some people that aren't alive, like, you know, Gandhi and Martin Luther King are people that, you know, even though they don't exist today, have definitely shaped my life and inspired me a lot. Winona LaDuc is a Native American activist who I'm reading one of her books right now, and I've been following her for a couple of years, and she really has educated and inspired me a lot. I have a blog, robgreenfield.tv/people, and that's a list of around 50 or so people that have inspired me and that I, you know, recommend other people pay attention to and learn from.
Okay, great. Yeah, I was going to hit you up for some resources. It sounds like that post will have some of that as well. And if there's anything missing that you want to mention outside, of course, your own website, stuff that you think is important for people to follow that we should all be interested in this topic. I was going to say that are interested in this topic. This is something everybody needs to be interested in. If you're not, get interested right now.
Well, we did talk about the documentaries and the books. So just some resources, the things that helped me. If you go to robgreenfield.tv/films, that's a lot of the films that really inspired me and woke me up and changed me. Robgreenfield.tv/books is a lot of the books that I read that really woke me up. And then if you go to /Facebook/YouTube/nonprofits, those are different resources of Facebook pages, YouTube channels, nonprofits, that I, you know, admire and respect. Another page is my timeline of transformation. So when I did wake up, you know, changing one bit at a time, and that's just that /timeline. And through that, there's just a huge supply of resources. You can click the different links about like why I got rid of my cell phone, why I got rid of my car, you know, my experience of traveling with no money. That's a great resource as well, with lots of information on there.
Just go to Rob's website, robgreenfield.tv, and you'll find it all. And be sure to follow him. Doing awesome things, my friend. I have to ask you before I let you go, because you mentioned, you know, running for office kind of in what you were just talking about. And then you mentioned this pledge to be a public servant. And I just couldn't help but as I was thinking these things and I was reading through that and kind of thinking what you're up to, I'm like, it seems like maybe one day down on the horizon, you might be interested in serving in like a public office type?
It's a question of just how I will be a public servant. So that could be a government office. It could just be an individual leader, you know, that has no, you know, involvement in government. Which is what I'm doing right now. So I definitely want to be a positive leader for positive change for my whole life. And so whether that ends up being that I decide that government is the way to do that, or that I decide that just being an individual human being with no political ties is the way to do that, or whether that's running a nonprofit, I don't know which way life will take me. But what I do know is that what I'm doing now through that pledge and the other pledges that I've made is setting the foundation to being a person with deep ethics and morals and transparency that I want to have no matter in which way that I am serving the public. And that's really what I'm doing. So it could end up being you know, some sort of political office, or again, it could be just, you know, totally individual, radical human being just out there, you know, change. I don't know that how that will be, but I am creating the foundation to live whichever way it goes within a, you know, deep set of morals and ethics that serves the people, which I want to be serving, which is just basically the human race and the other species that we share the earth with.
Any like specific actionable thing you can leave us with? We've already talked about how to think about flights and travel and things to consider as you plan your next trips in the upcoming years, which I think is huge and a huge takeaway from this podcast. I just want to make sure if you have anything else, now's the time, my man.
Yeah. Well, okay. So it does seem that the action is the challenging part for most people. Listening to podcasts, watching documentaries, talking about it, that's all comes a lot easier than actually doing something. And the common theme that I've seen is people don't know where to start. And when they don't know where to start, it results in them doing nothing. So what I say is just start somewhere. Now, that could be getting rid of disposable plastic bags and getting a reusable shopping bag. It could be having a reusable water bottle and not buying plastic bottles anymore. Something very small that you can do today. The thing is, what you don't realize is that action creates more action. So once you take a positive step, it gives you the motivation and the momentum to take another positive step. So don't worry about which step you start with. Do whatever you feel inspired by right now. You know, don't worry like, okay, well, I know the biggest thing that I could do is eat a more plant-based diet, but I'm not ready to do that. So don't let that cripple you from doing nothing. Start with something that will make you feel better about yourself and feel less crippled by our current, you know, political and environmental scenario, and let that empower you over time. And you're not going to become empowered overnight, but by making one positive change, say per week, some of them are going to be really little, some of them are going to be bigger. What you'll do is you'll start to transform yourself without even, and then you'll get to this place without even having realized it. You'll look back, say a year ago, and think, wow, look at all the things I'm doing now that I wasn't doing a year ago. And that is empowering, and that is what gets you to make more positive changes and more positive changes. And then those big positive changes that you never thought you could do, then now you've built the foundation to be able to take on those bigger steps because you're more empowered, you're maybe healthier, you're more in alignment with your beliefs and your morals, and that is powerful. So that's what I would say is really just think of one positive change you can make today and then make that. And then continue to make, you know, maybe one per week over time.
Thank you so much for just, you know, being part of this podcast so early on when it was just, you know, a few episodes in a feed. And now 5 years later, we get the pleasure of chatting again. And it's been an honor to know you over the last years. And man, we still got to meet up in person somewhere. It looks, sounds like I'm going to have to get to Orlando, but I'm going to have to ride a bike there or something, which is fine because I'm up for that adventure. But I hope we can cross paths soon. And yeah, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. Look forward to meeting in person. And as long as the podcast is still going, we can do this every year or two.
Rock on. Sounds good. Thanks, Rob.
All right.
Thanks. See ya. There you have it. Hope you enjoyed listening into my conversation with Rob Greenfield. Inspiring guy, right? Look at the way he's living his life, the things he's doing. We all can't be that extreme, but certainly I believe we could take some lessons from Rob and the way he lives his life and incorporate those into our own and become better travelers. When I think back to some of my adventures, some of the greatest times were those long bike rides or just long walks where you get lost in a neighborhood, you don't even know where you are, you're away from all the tourist sites, and you're just walking around and soaking in the everyday life. And I think our tendency can be to think about sustainable travel as, oh, okay, I have to travel less. You're taking something away from me that I love to do. And that's not it. And you heard Rob in the interview today. It's all about how you think about it and just how it changes your approach to travel. It doesn't mean that we're losing travel experiences or we're not going to get to go to the places we want to go. We're just thinking about them in a way that's conscious and maybe doing it a little bit differently. And when you take away certain things, say you want to cut down on the amount of flights you do and do more overland travel, for example, you might actually be adding more positive travel experiences than subtracting them. You know, I just wanted to point that out, that I think we tend to get a little defensive of our travels. We don't want anybody to take anything from our travel dreams, right? And that's not what this is about. This is about just doing it consciously and adding to our travel experience. And of course, we can make up the rules. We can think about the ways that we want to shift our travel styles so we can be more sustainable, more environmentally friendly, and still get peak travel experiences. So just wanted to throw that out there. And I will leave you with a quote from Melody Beattie, who said, "Gratitude makes sense of our past, brings peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow." Thanks again, my friend. Until next time, cheers.
This podcast has been brought to you by ZeroToTravel.com. Ideas and advice to make your travel dreams a reality.